few things we'll be talking about today. Talk a little bit about the Linux market. What are the target markets for a Linux desktop? Who are we supposed to be making this software for? A little bit more I'll talk about is, what do we need to work on? Like being able to present a projector with a reasonable resolution. Another is, what is the Linux desktop? As long as you may not be familiar with it, you may be very familiar with SUSE Linux, but not necessarily the Linux desktop. You may be asking, well, what's the difference? Why would I want to use an LD over something like SUSE Linux? I'm also going to give a short introduction to the talk I'll be doing on Tuesday, which is on Novell's usability study that we performed, just a 3-month study. And then a little bit about partnering efforts. The reason I committed partnering efforts is because some people kind of wonder why Novell is involved in Linux at all, what benefit we really have when we're involved in Linux. And one of those is partnering with hardware companies and software companies, making sure that their hardware or their software works on Linux, which helps the adoption rate. So we'll talk a little bit about the Linux market and who exactly you're making this software for, or at least who it works for today and who we'd like it to work for in the future. These are different user types as defined by Gartner Research. The left one, they have consumers. Those are, you know, home users, people who want to play games, who want to have the kitty screensaver that you know the IT department, things like that. The second group is the developers, which is you guys, the people who are actually coding this stuff, but not just the Linux desktop or things like that, but guys who are, for instance, in the corporate IT department who are making internal tools. Maybe companies that are producing tools, for instance, for SUSE Linux Enterprise Server, something like that. The transactional worker is that guy who sits there at a terminal and all he does is, for instance, sit at a terminal and do stock trades. Or, you know, all he has to do is get on this one web application, or all he does is email, something like that. And then there's the knowledge worker. Knowledge worker is generally somebody like a sales rep, a marketing guy, one of the executives, somebody who's using a few of the tools, like they're using the Office Suite, they're using their email, but they're more of a power user in that sense. They may also have special applications that they need that may not necessarily be available on the Linux desktop. So when we look at the adoption rates, obviously some of these groups, not everything they need is going to be on the Linux desktop. The left-hand side here is showing basically the groups that we have a pretty good idea of what they need, and we pretty much have the tools they need. The fixed function workstations, what I mentioned before, like for instance, an internet kiosk is a fixed function workstation, or the call center guy that I mentioned before, that's a fixed function workstation. That's generally pretty easy. As long as the application is available on Linux, they have very simple needs, and we know that that works today. A lot of you have been using all those tools for years now. The deskless PC user, that is a really hot topic right now. A lot of people are coming to me and saying, what's Novell's plan for thin client? Especially in the education sector. Education is big on doing thin client because basically they look at it as low cost and low manageability. So that's a big one. Engineering workstation, that's its upper limit. Engineering workstation is things like CAD or oil and gas or aerospace industry. They have very specialized applications. As we go up the scale, it's getting harder and harder to meet these users' needs. And with the engineering workstation specifically, one of the things we're trying to do is, for instance, talk to Katya and make sure that their CAD applications work in Novell Linux desktop. So for the most part, when we do this, the animation houses, we presented to a lot of the animation houses a few days ago. They're using Linux extensively. But they have needs as well, and there are certain companies that we still need to work with to try to satisfy their needs. The IT professional, again, is he's just an admin, and he needs the tools. He's available. Most of that stuff's already there. Those right-hand side, the corporate power user I mentioned, the corporate PC user, the problem we find with them most often is something like the lack of Microsoft Office. As much as we hate to admit it, there are certain tools that are geared specifically for Microsoft Office that will never work necessarily in the Linux desktop. So with things like OpenOffice we're doing the best that we can to, for instance, convert macros, or provide the same functionality, or provide most of the functionality, but not necessarily every little bit. We were very careful when we first released about Linux Desktop 9 to pitch this in the correct light. A lot of people would come to us with an opportunity and they'd say, I have 200,000 desktops, Windows XP right now, and they all want to convert to Linux. And of course, that's a bad opportunity because we know that they're going to fail. They're set up. We mentioned that there are certain applications that don't work. Occasionally, there's some hardware that doesn't work. And so it's important to really temper this. When you're looking at doing some kind of Linux rollout, one of the things we try to help people do is really figure out what's a good target audience within your company. So it's important to remember that, you know, although Linux is growing strongly and is doing a very good job in increasing its functionality, it's not yet the Microsoft killer. To that end, we are working on addressing a lot of those needs. One of the things I'll mention later when I present on Tuesday is our usability study. One of the major issues that we find internally with Novell's rollout of Novell Linux Desktop is the difficulty of a Windows user switching over to using a Linux desktop and trying to figure out what is the answer for being able to help them to be able to use the desktop without having to be completely retrained. You know, is it simply mimicking the behavior, or do we need to really think differently about how the whole system works and how people learn and how they actually work in their environment? So I mentioned earlier about Novell's internal rollout of Novell Linux Desktop. With our switch to our products moving to Linux, we've also moved the company to Linux. Last year, 2004 in March, we canceled all of our contracts with Microsoft, so we get no more upgrades. That doesn't mean we have zero Microsoft products within our organization, but we're getting very close to that. Just about the entire company right now is using OpenOffice.org, have been so since last year. The initiative last year was to get half the company using Linux, and we established that goal, or we achieved that goal, I think it was by October of last year. We're doing very well. And then this year, Jack Messman, our CEO, came to us and said, all right, it's time to switch. So everybody in the entire company is moving to Linux Desktop. Now, does that mean exclusively Linux? No, unfortunately not. Some people are going to be using a dual boot configuration, so they'll have XP on that machine. That's a safety blanket. But some of the feedback I'm getting from these people is, yes, I have a dual boot system. I occasionally use Windows, but for the most part, I can get all the work I need to do done within Linux Desktop, which is great. It's good to hear. And it's really helping us to help our customers too, right? It's helping us to figure out what issues do we run into, what issues may they run into, and what tools can we provide them to fix those issues. So we'll talk a little bit about Novell Linux Desktop 9 itself. Novell Linux Desktop 9 came out. We wanted to provide as many tools as possible to get your job done, but not an overabundance of tools. Many Linux distributions, including our own SUSE Linux, provide everything under the sun. So we wanted to give a core set of applications that basically were what you needed to get the job done. In addition to that, we needed to be able to make it easy for people to maintain this. This was actually, Novell Linux Desktop was geared towards running in a business. And when you're running in a business and running in high numbers, you have to have an easy way to take care of those systems. Make sure they're up to date, right? You don't want to have systems that are 6 months out of date patches. The other thing is, we had a great base to work from. All of the products, all of the Linux products at Novell are based on SUSE Linux Enterprise Server 9. SUSE obviously to be 10. So what we call that is, we call that the common code base. I'll go a little bit more into that in another thing. And the other important part here is that it's backed by Novell. Again, when you're in a large organization, Credit Suisse, First Boston, or some really big organization, you need some kind of company, basically what they call one throat to choke. You need one person to go to when you're having problems, whether it be your hardware or software. You need to know that that company is prepared to actually take care of those issues, regardless of where you are in the world. So I mentioned earlier that we provide those the common set of applications that are what you need to get your job done. One of those is an office suite from an office that I work. Another one is Novell Evolution. It's personal information management plan. I'm going to go over all of these individually. And again, you guys probably aren't on this stuff, but going through it anyway. And then there's broad partner support. SUSE is quite good at making sure that they cover as much hardware as possible, working with the vendors and trying to make sure they get their hands on all the hardware they need to make sure it all works in Linux. So OpenOffice.org, how many here actually use OpenOffice.org? Okay, happy. How many actually ever use an Office Suite at all? Okay, so even less of you. All right, so OpenOffice.org is basically the equivalent to Microsoft's Office on Linux. It was started by Sun Microsystems a few years ago. It was actually a fork of their Star Office product. Novell has become the number two contributor to this project. And so we're always trying to improve this. We include the 1.1 version within the Office Desktop 9. We'd love to have 2.0 in there, but we really can't have that rapid change within this desktop, because we need to keep things stable. One of the things we've done with it, though, is integrated well within the environment. I don't know if you guys can see, I'm not even going to bother changing it, actually. One of the things we do is, for instance, we redid all the icons to make sure that they fit within the environment. We made sure when you click on a mail screen link, it's going to open up the right mailer, it's going to open up a browser when you click on a web browser. You can even do, like, mail merge. So, for instance, if you're writing the same letter to 40 different people that are all on your address book, auto fill in the information for you. So we do quite a bit of work on that. The other is Evolution, Novell Evolution. This is a personal information management client. It's a standards compliant. Basically, it does more than just email. It's email, calendar, contacts, tasks. Again, a lot of engineers don't necessarily use this, but a lot of people use this extensively, especially the calendar function. They want to be able to see the, for instance, when a coworker is busy. They want to be able to schedule appointments with other people. Novell Evolution, as it started out, was our de facto Linux email client. We were working to make sure that it worked well with GroupWise, which is a very specific server, right? Novell Evolution already worked with Microsoft Exchange. When we were Zimian, we did a lot of work on making sure that that worked well. We matched a lot of functionality and did a pretty good job on that. And so we started that work of integrating Novell Evolution into GroupWise and making it work for GroupWise. But what we found was there are a lot of features in GroupWise that are very specific to GroupWise. So it became difficult. We've got this wonderful standards compliant email client, and yet we're starting to really bloat it by trying to fit into Novell Evolution. Into GroupWise. So we also have, ooh, that's a horrible screenshot, sorry about that. We also have the Java cross-platform client, which we've actually decided to officially release with the latest release of SP2, to make sure that people can still get to their mail using Linux desktop, but we don't have to necessarily bog down Novell Evolution by trying to support just one server instead of a lot of different servers. Mozilla Firefox, I'm sure most of you are already familiar with this. Big advantage is automatic pop-up blocking, a lot more secure. It's growing in popularity, which is great. A lot of more sites have realized that they have to be able to support something like Firefox, and that really helps us. Another big deal with Mozilla Firefox is it works on both Windows and Linux. It also works on Mac, so that's great for a migration strategy. If you're trying to get this within your company, you can run these tools for a while on Windows first to get your users comfortable with it. And then when you move over to Linux, they've already got the tools, or they've already been using these tools for a while. We also include instant messaging, Kopi. In the Windows world, you guys know there's a lot of applications, for instance, AIM, MSN Messenger, Yahoo Messenger. They're all just specific to that one particular protocol. The other thing about Kopi is it basically works with a lot of different protocols. I'm sure you guys heard about Google Talk that came out recently. It works with Google Talk because it supports Jabber, which is, again, a big advantage. Kopi is an awesome application actually. It works quite well. I'll admit that I use GNOME usually. I know who it is. But I use GoPete for because it worked a hell of a lot better than game in a lot of situations. Novell iFilter 2.1 is basically an application that allows you to sync your documents, your files back to a central server. And no matter where you run that client, you can always sync those back. So you can run iFilter on a Windows PC or you can run it on a Linux PC. And you'll always have those applications. If you're using Linux at home, you can have iFilter at home. And then if you say if you're forced to use something like Windows at work, then you can still get those applications there at work. Those documents there at work, which is a nice little feature. One of the things we're also working on is the next generation of this, which is iFilter v3. It's going to be mono-based. It was recently released, and one of the things we added to that is a workroom functionality. So now you're not just syncing back to some proprietary server, you can actually sync files between a group of people, and you can invite people to sync your files. So in this sense, you can have your common repository without having some huge infrastructure in the back end. Within Novell NX Test.lm, when we were working on it, there was a lot of speculation in the media that, oh, what are they going to go with? Novell bought Symian in August of 2003. They were a GNOME company. They bought SUSE in January of 2004. And they were a KDE company, so we said, what are you going to do? What are you going to make the default? So we decided not to make a default model because we had the strengths in both ends. Not only that, but our customers want both. We have some customers who have maybe particular applications or maybe they like GNOME, so they use that. We have plenty of customers that use KDE as well. So we make sure that we keep both those desktops in the environment. And we have a lot of experts in both areas, which helps tremendously. So we talk about all these applications that we're using, right? We're using Kobe, we're using Novell Evolution, we're using Firefox, and all these open source applications, a nice, you know, Linux base, but what are we actually contributing back? Which is an important part of this community, right? So this slide pretty much just highlights that we are actually contributing back. We do a lot of work in GNOME. KDE project, obviously, the SUSE Linux people have always been leaders within that. We started, we're the maintainers of Mono. Evolution as well, and of course we have a lot of current languages as well. Somebody have any questions at all? Am I confusing? Okay, so we'll talk a little bit about Novell Linux Desktop and OpenSUSE and SUSE Linux. I don't actually have any OpenSUSE slides, but I'm going to leave that to a few other people at this conference. But basically a lot of people say, well, why would I need Novell Linux Desktop 9? I have SUSE Linux. And there are a few different differences between our consumer brand or our enthusiast brand, which is SUSE Linux and OpenSUSE, and our enterprise brand, which is Novell Linux Desktop. Mostly, it boils down to support, right? SUSE Linux has a 6-month release cycle, roughly. Every 6 months, we come out with a new one. We support that one for a maximum of, I think, 2 years. That's just basic security updates, and you can't actually get support for it. It's intended to be a cutting edge Linux. We try new things in that. It may not necessarily be as stable as using something that's hardware tested like our enterprise Linux. And so we're basically going with all these different open source packages. We have a lot of different maintainers within the company maintaining various packages. And we put that into SUSE Linux. Now, putting it into SUSE Linux means that we get it out to you guys. You guys get to use it for a while, you get to report bugs, tell us what's wrong, and that helps us to develop our enterprise stuff. At some point, we're going to freeze that code base, and we create our SUSE Linux Enterprise Server. As I mentioned earlier, SUSE Linux Enterprise Server actually represents the base of all of our Linux products. Novell Linux Desktop was built off the SUSE Linux 9 code base. NLD10 will be doing the same. OES, which is Open Enterprise Server, also builds off of that. So all of our products are working on SUSE Linux Enterprise Server 9. And basically, Novell Linux Desktop, it's not going to be everything that you find in SUSE Linux. It's going to be a subset of those packages. It's the packages that you need and we will support, and not a lot of the smaller applications. That does get some people upset. That also means that we have the resources lot of people don't want to upgrade quickly, right? We have a 7-year support and a long release cycle. There are a lot of people out there who still run Windows 95, right? People don't like upgrading. They want to be able to keep that for a long time, especially when they have certain applications that are certified on it. So our enterprise class stuff is out there so that ISVs have an easy way to certify their software platform that's going to be around for a while. Customers can know that it's going to be out, it's going to be there for a while, it will be supported for a while, and it gets extensive testing through both OpenSUSE and SUSE Linux, and even after that, once we've actually first base, we're putting out to partners, command beta testers, and making sure that it all works well. So I mentioned earlier about the common code base. It's an important fact here, and it helps tremendously when you talk about, for instance, ISVs and IHVs, independent software vendors, and hardware vendors. It means that you certify on one platform, and it should work on all the other platforms, which is nice to have. And the other is supported by we have 24/7 support. We have lots of support techs. It's not just support; it's also consulting. It's also training. So we provide a lot for these enterprise class operating systems, including NLP. The product installation support. A lot of people say, well, what exactly do I get when I purchase NLD? NLD retails for $50 for one copy, right? So you get 1 year, one full year of, I'm sorry, as long as you're current on your maintenance, basically, you get your installation support, which basically means I'm trying to install a Saturday machine and it doesn't work. Can you help me? You also get basic support within the OS itself. If you need something more than just basic support, more than, okay, I've got it running, now what do I do? Novell has a lot of different support programs, all the way up to you have a support tech on site, which again, in a large organization, it's nice to have somebody just go poke on the shoulder and say, it's broken, fix it. So it's nice to have those options as well. About 8 minutes left here. The migration study. So I'm not going to talk extensively about this, I just want to introduce this. This is a study that I worked on along with Anders, who's our product design lead. We worked on this for about 3 months. And basically what we were doing was we were trying to identify the different problem areas within the desktop. I mentioned earlier when we were talking about our internal rollout, the problems that, you know, we've had a lot of problems that we faced internally. For instance, people who were using Windows for the last 10 years were used to a lot of paradigms, different ways of things working, and so they found that when they started using Linux, they had some issues with trying to figure out how things worked. They couldn't find things, and to a technical person, when you're looking at it, you go, oh, just right-click it, but they don't get it. They don't necessarily understand right-click or drag and drop or all these different things. So we had to really look at this and test real users who are not ourselves and not our friends, and go and look and see what happened when they tried to use a Linux study. So we did this guided use study on 60 different participants. And basically what that means is we sat them down for half an hour. We had 5 different tasks. I'm not sure if I have this on the next thing. No. We had 5 different tasks for them to perform. And they were just common tasks like change your background, add your friend Maria's contact information to contact or something like that. And we film the whole thing, we just see how they completed, if they can complete it, things like that. We did this testing using Linux Desktop 9, so we're using GNOME 2.6 and KDE 3.2. We do understand there's some of these problems that can be fixed in KDE 3.4, which is great, but that's not enough. It's out on the market right now. We need to see what are the problems with the current product, and how can we fix those going forward. Based on all this stuff, we have actually established a permanent usability lab in Cambridge office, and it's helped us tremendously in trying to develop the next version of SUSE Linux and Novell Linux Desktop. Because basically what we do is we come up with mockups of what we'd like to do, what we think would be the right thing to do, and then we have users come in, just ordinary people, and see how they perform with it. That way we can put up a mockup before putting in this month's worth of effort to actually do this. And see what works before we're actually coding. So it's helped us actually code tremendously. Tuesday, I think, at 3 o'clock. So make sure you get to that. That would be a very good presentation. One of the things I'm going to talk about the methodology, how exactly we went through this. I'll talk about the equipment we used. We put together a portable usability lab for, I think it was roughly $2,000, and that was including the laptop. So we didn't really spend a lot of money on it. What are the results for some of the things we observed within that, actually? And then suggestions for starting our own lab. One of the things I'd like to highlight is this is really useful stuff, and we'd like to give you guys the tools to be able to do this yourself, because we can't just have it be done just within the Cambridge office. It needs to kind of spread so that when you guys are developing your applications, you can use these techniques to make sure that your application actually is easy to use. Okay, partnering efforts. I mentioned earlier that partnering efforts are an important part of here. Having a company like Novell, who partners with, for instance, IBM and HP and Dell, that puts a lot of weight behind getting people to make sure that their stuff, the ISVs I'll talk about in a minute, making sure their stuff actually works in Linux. It gives us, or rather, buying a lot of cloud to be able to put pressure on these hardware vendors to make sure that they're working with their stuff. We also have a certification program, which is kind of nice. Novell has been around for, 24 years, something like that, 25 years within this industry. So they already had an extensive team of certifying stuff on their own platform, NetWare. And so what they did was they developed tools or a test suite that would allow a hardware vendor to run this test suite on their hardware and spit out a report saying what hardware is supported and what hardware is not. And we can put that report up on the Novell site to show you the system is supported, but the wireless doesn't work, or something like that. We have different levels of certification, so if it's only some of the things work and it's really not well supported, we'll give it a different certification level. But it's important for customers to know before they're making several thousand dollars worth of equipment that they know that it's going to work within Linux. We also do the same thing with the software. We have a developer services program, so we help independent software vendors create applications, maybe port their applications to Linux. So again, this is kind of helping. Our biggest problems, or one of the biggest problems we have, is application availability. And so it's been very important to us to work with these software vendors and really encourage them to port their stuff over to Linux and say, this is an important platform. Need to pay attention to it, and we're going to help you to port that application over to Linux. That's pretty much my presentation. Hopefully, I give you a little bit of information about what Novell Linux Desktop is, why you should care necessarily, and what you may want to use. If you want more information about it, hopefully, you can see that URL. Again, I'm sorry about the technical issues with the presentation. Does anybody have any questions? So he's asking about full clarification on our hardware certification. It started off as a program to certify hardware with NetWare, but now basically that same team has made it so that you can certify your hardware with Linux. This is Linux. The program had to basically be completely reworked. It's a completely different operating system. But so this allows a vendor, for instance, an IBM, to just run this test suite and spits out output that says every piece of hardware on that machine and what its support level is.
And
this
hardware certification is now being deployed for Linux.
Yes.
And is it still called YES?
Sorry.
Is it still under the same name?
Yeah, it's still considered YES certified. Yeah. I don't do the marketing part of that. I don't know if that's good or not, but yeah, it is still. Well, that's a good question, actually. He's asking what's unique to Novell Linux Desktop compared to every other distribution out there. And really, when you start comparing Linux desktops, you're going to find a lot of these desktops have a lot of the same functions. They're going to have a lot of the same programs. They all have Firefox. They all probably have Novell Evolution, things like that. one of the things that distinguishes us is our work on usability. But the other thing that really distinguishes us, and I don't know what you think of this answer, but basically it is the fact that it is backed by the model. This is an important fact when you're trying to roll this out to, say, 2,000 people. I mentioned earlier that the support that you have available to you, consulting, things like that, a smaller company may not be able to provide that. Sometimes you can have local consulting companies that do an excellent job, for instance, helping out a local medium small business or something like that. But with a larger organization, really what sets us apart is the fact that you have that developed organization. You're always going to get in the feature race. Who has what feature, who has what program, things like that. But in the end, it's all open source. Everybody can have it eventually. So you have to differentiate yourself. For development, that's providing services behind it as well. Did I answer your question? Yes, perfect.
The scripts which check the hardware.
Yes.
The machines, do they
good question.
And if so, can they recognize it from a base that we track it an issue? So all the things on a standard base that are viable because there's the script work out what part of work.
Yeah. Started some work on that. So he's asking, what's the benefit of running, if you can run a lot of these applications on Windows, why would you want to switch over to a Linux desktop? And companies have different reasons for switching from Windows to Linux. Some of them are really upset because they just got hit by the latest worm or virus. Some look at Linux and they heard it's free, so they want to switch, which of course is one of those things that we need to tell them, well, it's not free exactly. It will save money, but it's not free, right? The other is manageability. Sometimes they want, for instance, they may have four different platforms within their organization. They want to reduce that down. If they can do it all with Linux, if, for instance, they're running all their web services and databases on Linux, all their IT department wants to use Linux, why not have a user base use Linux as well? So they basically have different reasons why they can switch from one to the other. Maybe cost, maybe stability, maybe they're sick of viruses and worms. So it kind of depends on the company.
I just had a question about
successful sales. Sales has been a heck of a lot better than we were anticipating, actually. It's been biggest in the education sector. I don't have exact numbers for you, but the adoption rate has been fairly well. With the larger organizations, it's a little harder. You make the sale, but it doesn't necessarily get implemented for 6 months, maybe a year. Sales has been pretty well. I think with NLD 10, I think we're going to see a huge increase just because of we've put in so much experience in releasing NLD 9 and we're putting it back into NLD 10. So that's even going to be better as far as the sales go. And that should be available mid next year. Yeah, we've been working very hard to try to make it work with Rubus. He was asking about Evolution, and I was saying it didn't work. The Contact guys are actually working on that support as well. And Contact does work, and Evolution does work, but they don't, like, for instance, there's a lot of little features like, for instance, proxy. And I think what proxy is basically, I can send mail to another user. There's no real standard for proxy, right? It's a very Novell GroupWise specific feature, but yet the people who have been using GroupWise for years on Windows say they can't live without it. And so it becomes difficult because you're always going to find all these little features that they absolutely must have. Sure, exactly. And everybody, right, exactly, that's a thing. Right, but nobody actually does it the same. The delegation part? Okay, so maybe it is the item of that example. If you know, I don't use GroupWise extensively like the Windows people do. Like I use GroupWise for my calendar, for my contacts, and for email. There are a lot of really specific things that GroupWise does that nobody else does, and it's basically just there's no standard. So why take a standards compliant thing like Contact and try to fit in all these different features when Contact could be working for Hula, for Colab, for Stalker, all these different servers that are actually standards compliant. We don't want to take these applications. Any other questions? All right, thank you very much, guys.
Schedule. He talked a bit about Evolution and GroupWare.